This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Okay, welcome to this week's Doc and the Guru podcast. Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
I am really looking forward to this. It's such a fascinating brand and such a fascinating culture. And from a media perspective, I've got a million questions, but I know we're going to lead on the branded stuff. This is your territory. But yeah, I'm really excited to chat to Marna Boshoff and Natalie Castle. And she's going to explain, I think, this magic about her name as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I mean, Gordon, we're talking King Price. And, you know, for most of us, we probably consume the media on television or digital or the radio. And we think, who's this wacky off-the-wall brand? So, Natalie, welcome. Marna, welcome. And what we want to do is just to have a conversation around two main themes and streams around the external stuff that we as the consumer sees. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then also chat about the internal culture at King Price and how you live that every day.
Perfect. Great. Yeah, looking forward to share some ideas with you guys. Yes.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I think let's start, Natalie, if you don't mind, and I know you've been with King Price for a while. If you can talk a little bit about the brand and how you came up with the wacky way in which you do stuff and how you continue to push the envelope as a disruptor in that traditionally staid insurance market.
100%. Thanks, Doug. Ultimately, a few years into our launch, someone came up with the most perfect one-liner that encapsulates exactly what King Price is about. And it's, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we take what we do very seriously. And I believe behind that is, just because we're a financial institution or services provider, we don't have to be serious. It doesn't have to be blue collar. And we can have fun. We believe that happy staff equal happy clients. Mm. And that's pretty much, I mean, if I had to look at the brand's personality, it is almost the identical personality of our CEO, Gideon Galloway.
Mm. And I think that's, you know, that's, it's interesting. And then you made the point yourself, you know, you don't take yourself seriously, but obviously what you do is so fundamentally serious for most consumers because you're playing with people's money. So I think that is important. And also the congruency. And just now we'll chat to Marna about that pull through between what you promise the consumer and how do you actually live it. But I can see Gordon wants to jump in with a question.
Yeah, no, look, I was just intrigued by, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We take what we do seriously. It's almost like the flip side of the politician perspective in South Africa, who take themselves incredibly seriously and not what they do. It just struck me. But coming back, you know, Doug's point or the doc's point is a really good one. That, I mean, I look at insurance. It mystifies me. I don't trust it. You know, I probably don't spend enough time with it to understand it. And you've taken an approach which you might construe as being lighthearted and superficial, and yet it works incredibly well. How do you break through my barrier of you know, not being informed and being suspicious of anything which has the word insurance in it?
I think what the big thing that the consumer needs to understand the most is this is a very governed industry. So there's no way that we could not have enough money to pay our claims, which was honestly our biggest struggle at launch stage. And we were a new player in the market. People, including our competitors, said we wouldn't be around here for more than 3 months. We have one unique proposition that is we own worldwide from our pricing model of decreasing premiums. So for us, and because we deal quite extensively with the brokers in our commercial side of the business, our biggest struggle was to be credible. But we didn't want to be boring at the same time. So what we've done with our credibility side is obviously we are governed and we do all the reporting and documentation required to be compliant. But then at the same time, we use PR quite extensively to build up that credibility so that people can get both sides of the coin. Yeah. If we were going to go with just another insurance ad, which we did do in the first couple of years, we're only almost 8 years old now, we couldn't disrupt the market. Yeah. No one would remember our name. I remember very sadly when we first launched that people used to Google King Pie Insurance. don't laugh.
And Mr. Price.
Yeah. Right. And now it's taken us 8 years where I can phone someone and give them my email address and they go, King Price. Yeah. I'm going, yes. Yeah. You've got it. Sure. And I think the only way we've been able to do that with our small budgets is by being disruptive. Yeah. So we have another ethos that we live by is that if we don't do it differently, we don't do it.
Yeah. Well, that's just great because, I mean, you're up against, and I don't want to go into the opposition brands now, but, I mean, you are up against some massive players who've been around for a long, long time with very big budgets. And I think you're absolutely right, you know, that sometimes it is to take that disruptive route, which is risky, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't pay off. But in your case, you know, I'm happy to hear that it has paid off and is a successful brand.
Well, 100%, Doug. I mean, we currently, according to AC Nielsen, spend around 3% of the brand that pops into most people's mind first. And we've achieved what we've achieved by not following the insurance norms. Most of us here come from the big insurance companies previously, and we've been able to build upon that knowledge to realize what we shouldn't do.
Yeah. And I think just to, if I can pop in there, like Natalie was just saying, you know, according to those stats you just gave, spending 3% of the marketing budget that some of our competitors are spending, but just adding to that, doing 80% of the sales.
Yeah.
So if you spend 3%, you also get 3% of the sales. It's not that much effective, but spending 3%, getting 80% of the sales, I think that's what really puts a stamp of approval on it.
Geez, that's an incredible stat. I mean, that is unbelievable there. But I mean, yeah, and again, well done. And I think just to the earlier point of spending a lot of money, you know, you can get to the point of diminishing returns where your spend is no longer that effective, you know. And I think some of the companies, and not necessarily just in the insurance sector, almost spend to the point of irritation. You know, you almost see too much of their work and you get to the point where you just block it out. It's like wallpaper, you know. So I suppose it's that fine line and ratio analysis of right spend to right return. But certainly if you guys are doing those ratios, I mean, geez, that's off the charts.
Yeah, so it's about being effective and making a big bang with a small budget.
Sure.
I've seen people post on social media that they would sell body parts in order not to see other insurance ads anymore because it has got to the irritation factor. Yeah. And what's so beautiful about our current campaign is I've built up such a loyal following that I get emails and requests on when is your next ad coming out.
Yeah.
Or even better than that, we've had consumers, and Vendor is a prime example, that have submitted us ideas for ads. I get gooseies just saying that. People are actually engaging with an insurance company and getting excited about their marketing is absolutely unique.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, so you're saying your campaign Vendor was generated from consumers? Did they give you that idea? Oh, really?
So, a gentleman emailed me, and his name is Harry Kutsia, and he said, I've got a great ad for you. And this, he's not the only one. I've had a few, but this was definitely one we could take further. And he submitted the idea, and we invited him to the shoot. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. But if you see on any of the credits, we credit him back the idea, and the idea back to him.
That's excellent. That's wonderful. I mean, I didn't know that, but I mean, that's just great. That just reinforces that sort of champion, consumer champion type positioning that certainly as a consumer, I see King Price playing.
That's awesome, because that's exactly what we want to do.
Yeah.
Between that and being unapologetically South African, I think we've hit a sweet spot in the South African market. Out of the last 7 TV ads that we've run, 5 of them have gone viral, which in the marketer's dream, and one viral ad is a huge win. But the last year and a half has been unbelievable for the brand.
Yeah, absolutely, and well done again. You know, I mean, certainly, you know, I see all of that from the outside in, and it's really some wacky off the wall stuff, tongue in cheek, but certainly with a serious message underneath it.
Yeah. And can I just probe on your side of the fence, Mana, the culture side of it? I mean, I've got a half a dozen really technical media questions here, because it really is an exciting prospect to unpack the way you've played the brand up. But from what I understand, there's a strong alignment of this external culture with the internal practices within King Price, right down to titles, job descriptions, the whole culture. Can you give us a bit of a background on how you are kind of living this day by day within the company itself?
Yeah, I think we draw a strong connection between brand and advertising is the external expression of who we are, which is just a revelation or a connection towards the internal realization of who we are, which is our culture. So you need to have your internal culture aligned with your external communication strategy, I would say. And I think if you can link those two things, it's just that you're being real. So for us, it's just that is who we are. The fun and the laughter you see in our ads continues when you're inside our offices, whether it be funny dress-up days, whether just the way our offices look. And I'm just thinking, just today I saw it. I think it's a painting that went up on one of our walls. And I thought, what in the world is this? It's as horrible as it is beautiful. I'm not sure exactly what it is. And somebody said, no, it's Gideon. I don't know. Maybe he lost the bet somewhere or something. But there's a couple of funny things in our offices. So, I mean, I take people for tours through our offices. Our offices are open for tours. Yeah. Last year, in the last 5.5 months, we took about 1,000 people that booked and registered and came for tours. Lots of the large corporates in the country has come. People would even send more teams once one team was here. And we just try and give away a little bit for free, literally. So, you know, if there's something in our culture that you can learn and you can use, please do so. And if we can contribute to making a better workspace in South Africa, we'd love to do that. So every time I do a tour and we do a talk, people say, but why do you do this? Why do you share all of this for free? I said, well, I think it's just part of our purpose motive. So our whole purpose thing, and just coming back to your question, so it's, internally we've got a very strong purpose motive, I believe, that's just driving us. And then also coming back to what Nats was sharing on our ads, I think hitting that sweet spot on the cultures within South Africa, I think it's something we need to embrace. The answer lies in our diversity. The answer lies in uniting these different languages and cultures and everything into one, and playing on words or playing on ideas or anything like that is just part of who we are. And I think it's not difficult when you're just expressing yourself. That I think is the big thing. So for us, yeah, being authentic, being real, it's just who we are. I mean, I'm so coming just referring to what you asked on our job titles. So we have the on all our email signatures, you have sort of this job title thing, which is maybe most common, how other people would do it. And then it's scratched out, and then you have what we call a kingdom name. Yeah. So like Natalie would be Queen of Marketing. I'm the Culture Evangelist / Coach. And sorry, Hidden is king.
King of castle. Yeah.
There's all this, so it doesn't say CEO and all these things. Yeah. So it's just all these funny names, which I think just adds to the whole message of what Nat was saying, that, you know, we take our jobs quite seriously, but not ourselves. So we make fun of that. I think we're not big on titles anyway. Mm. We love a very flat structure. I think it's an open office environment. Nobody, there's not a single closed office in our building. I mean, not our CEO, not our CFO, nobody has got a closed office. So it's a great environment. It's a fun environment. And it comes back to our belief. We strongly believe if you can create a great working space, people are more productive. And we see that. We literally see that the growth we've had over 7 years is just remarkable. It's just absolutely incredible, the type of growth we've seen. So we're really thankful. We're humble on that. And we trust we can make a difference in the workspace in South Africa.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
Oh, that's great, Mona. And I think, you know, it's so refreshing, I guess, to hear a company that is open. You know, I know about the Kingdom Tours. It's wonderful, because most companies are not like that. Most companies are close. They guard their secrets, and I use that word inverted commas, closely. They don't want to share strategy, and they're certainly not going to share the way they do things. So, again, a big shout out to you guys. You know, well done. Just before we go on, and just for our listeners out there, in case there is some audio fluctuations, this is a call-in via Zoom, the video call-in service, so there may be a slight fluctuation, so please just excuse that. The guys from King Price are calling into the studio whilst Gordon and I are physically in the studio in Johannesburg.
And you know, they're calling from behind the Boerewors curtain, which then opens up the question of the Rainbow Nation, which you... You talked about cultural diversity. A really good piece on the brand in Media Update back end of last year. How do you cope going forward into the future with shifting emphasis? So, for instance, amongst young people, the concept of Rainbow Nation is sadly becoming something which is a little bit politically incorrect. How do you anticipate new trends? Do you respond? Are you a trendsetter or a trend responder?
So if I could answer that in a few words, it would be that we don't discriminate. So and it's been the biggest eye opener whatsoever is the feedback we get on all these cultural ads that we put out in the marketplace. I mean, the people you think would be offended are not offended. The people that aren't offended, it's just crazy. How different consumers really are if you don't paint them all by the same brush, or if you don't paint them with this whole Rainbow Nation brush. So we just try and keep everyone happy. We want everyone to be proudly South African. I've just posted, we did a shared billboard space with hashtag I'm staying. Mm. The response on that has been the most positive yet. And I think people are just so desperate to get out of these pigeonholes that everyone's put them in and just be unapologetically South African.
And I loved speaking about unapologetically South African. I loved the snorky Peter de Villiers Movember video clip. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. And that is something which is a unique, almost a Western Province kind of flavor. I mean, do you see that sort of regional flavor, or is he just bigger than Movember, even Snorky.
No, well, I think in Pretoria, I mean, it's, there's so many rugby supporters here, and they're huge fans of him.
Yeah.
And it's actually how we got introduced to the agency that have done the latest TV campaign with us, Freckle. Mm. They decided to come up with this idea of utilizing him for Movember, and it was, like you said, it was beautifully shot. He was amazing. And yeah, it was a good success. We don't regionalize, but unfortunately, our budget doesn't allow us to do so. So we just do mass media. Mm. Obviously, Gauteng has got the most cars, so it makes logical sense for us to spend the majority of our budget outdoor in Gauteng. But then we rely on the brokers in the Bloemfontein areas, etc., to get us into those smaller smaller areas on our behalf.
Yeah, the broker relationship is obviously crucial. And I mean, you know, do you kind of brief them as if they're an extension of the internal team, or are they de facto that anyway?
So we had a bit of a struggle when we first met the broker market because they are very traditional, and they didn't like the humor. Mm-hmm. But once they get to know us, and we only hire people that are extensions of us. Mm-hmm. So the people that service the accounts with the brokers are an extension of our personality. The paraphernalia we give them to hand out to clients is never the same as anyone else's. The events that we sponsor in a completely disruptive and creative way that you can immediately see when King Price is involved somewhere. And it goes beyond the red carpet that we keep rolling out wherever we go.
Okay. Can just come back to some of the content itself. I've just been intrigued in absorbing the campaign, you know, over the last however long, you know, with the multiplicity of video formats that you're using. So, I mean, getting 2-minute video pieces on YouTube, you've got little GIFs on Twitter. I mean, I'm intrigued by your media selection as well. So, you know, when do you use what kind of format? One thing which really intrigued me, it made so much intuitive sense, your Bling Cider campaign, which is an insurance product which, you know, is designed to protect your mobile phone, appears on Twitter. And that just, the logic of that, I just find delightful. How do you go about deciding what kind of format to use on what kind of media platform?
Well, I think to a degree, budget decides that for us. But also we've had to respect the fact that media is not consumed the way that it used to be. So very, very, very seldom do we do any print because people don't read print anymore, and we can reach a lot more people more effectively and disruptively and timelessly on mobile or on online. So we're very big online. And then we're very big, we took a big stance to go on outdoor because we know our competitors don't see the direct return on investment on outdoor. And we have a 45-second ad that goes viral, but we can't afford to put the 45-second on TV, so we have the cut down of the 30-second on TV. So there is a bit of strategy behind it. And what is the point of going into a magazine selling cell phone insurance whilst, you correctly said, you're holding your cell phone in your hand and staring at your cracked screen?
Yeah.
It's the media talks for itself.
Yeah. Well, the medium is the message. I think, you know, that was Marshall McLuhan talking in 1959. So it's intriguing how things kind of do the full 360 degrees. Now, before I throw it back to the doc here, I'm just going to thank you. You know, you've given us the loop for our next podcast, which is People Don't Read Anymore. I think my phone's already lighting up here from the PRC. Josephine, we look forward to chatting to you on that subject in a week or so. But, Doc, back to you.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. And again, you know, Mana and Natalie, thanks very much. It's really been great. And just in closing, and I know we could chat for forever and a day on this, and it's really great and refreshing to hear a brand, a fresh, young brand, going out, being proudly South African and not using that in a cliched way. Natalie, thanks. Mana, I'd like to just close off with you just in terms of how do people get hold of you for the Kingdom Tours? I know that they're of huge value. I've done some work around that. So please, if you can just share an email or a social a link that people can get hold of you.
Yeah, I think the easiest is that they could just send us an email to culture@kingprice.co.za so they can drop us the email to that, and we'll fix a date with them for them to come around. And I want to be as bold as to say I think it's a life-changing tour. I think that we've had people coming in here, and we've had just some great stories where people said it's been the most uplifting. It's given them hope again, going back to their businesses, just fired up again, realizing it can be done. I think something we set out to do was we said, let's build a South African case study of offices where people can come and learn, have a look, experience something. So even on the culture tours, we try and make it experiential. We We put somebody in the cash cube. We let them walk the Lego walk. We let them eat the fireballs we have in our, mm-hmm. our sort of, we'll see, you'll see, have to see where you come. So,
sure, sure. Well, I'm on my way.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you want to do a South African case study, because so often, you know, one would look at overseas case studies and why not us? You know, why not a South African case? Because, I mean, just listening to you talk reminds me of Zappos in America, the online shoe company, that they do the same sort of thing. But, I mean, one's got to travel all the way to America when you can get it right here on your doorstep. The same with Pike Place Fish Company, you know, with their values that are very similar to yours, you know, having fun, playing, be there, make their day, choose your attitude. So a lot of that stuff is universally true, but why should it be better? And again, I use that in inverted commas, because it's far away. Why can't it just be great up the road? And that's where, you know, I'd say to listeners, please get a hold of it, culture@kingprice.com. You know, get online, be part of it, and hopefully that little shot in the arm, culture injection, can be exactly what you need to take your brand and for that matter, company to the next level.
And may I just say, Doug, sorry, but I think the reason why we're trying to share and trying to make a difference is because you can't copy culture.
Yeah, yeah.
You can learn principles. And that's why we are so keen on just sharing whatever we've got. We share it with other people, because culture is not something you can steal.
Yeah.
I can steal strategy a bit, or product knowledge and stuff like that. You can maybe steal from a company, but culture is in your DNA. So we try and help people to just get to that being real, being themselves, get a real expression of it, and just make sure corporatism doesn't kill your own internal culture and identity. So I think that's what we're pushing hard against, just trying to be ourselves and make sure nothing kills that.
And I think from my perspective, looking at the kind of creativity, which, you know, is pushing the edge, you know, in many respects, you know, the vision of Santa Claus beating a broker over the head with a Christmas bell, you know, and don't have a nightmare Christmas, kind of scars my mind. But, you know, my concern is that culturalism, or whatever you call it, outside of you looking in, that wants to regulate creativity in human advertising, is something which I'm personally a bit concerned about. So long may it last, and long may we as South Africans learn to laugh at each other and at ourselves, you know, because we are one hell of a funny place.
Yeah,
we agree.
And I think that's what we've learned, is the moment you can bring humor and you can laugh about something, it brings connection, it brings healing into our country. And we've seen it. We have healthy teams. When there's laughter about these things, you can make fun of it, then you know there's actually the people's hearts are actually sorted and healed and healthy. So, yeah, it's just great fun. We enjoy it. That's why we come to work every day.
Yeah. Thanks, Marna. Thanks, Natalie. Doc, I'm going to leave it to you to wrap up. That was really fascinating. And long may it continue. And long may you be the benchmark for locally produced ads with local insight and local humor and local cultural nuance. I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Again, just echoing that, and thanks very much, Natalie and Mona. I really appreciate you know, your time, your insights. And again, please, to people listening, get hold of King Price. Find out about not just their products. This isn't a product pun per se. More about their culture. Find out about their wacky South Africanness and be part of the conversation. From my side, Dr. Doug Mateus, it's always a pleasure. And thank you very much. And we'll catch you next week on next week's episode of the Doc and Guru podcast.
And from the Guru, we'll see you or hear from you next week.
And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mateus. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on the show. And take us at our word, this is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.